And our special guest, Sarah Hanna, we're going to take calls with Sarah, questions about herbalists and herbal medicine, and also maybe things that she can help you with when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you, along with Sarah Hanna. Sarah, you had mentioned the flu season is upon us. What do you recommend in order for people to build up that immunity?
Well, I love the herb echinacea,
mm-hmm.
and I like it best in what is called tincture or liquid form. I find that herbs don't work so well in capsule form because a lot of them don't have a long shelf life. And you can take echinacea on a daily basis. People used to think you had to take it on and off and on and off, and that is not true. And my second favorite thing, and this is to prevent, of course, I'm always trying to be one step ahead, medicinal mushrooms like reishi mushroom. That's an herb you can take in capsule form because it's a food herb. And reishi mushroom is phenomenal at balancing that immune system and building up your immunity so you're not so vulnerable. And of course, you need to wash your hands, use a tissue if you sneeze, right? You can't just take an herb. You also have to make sure your environment is as healthy as possible. Have indoor plants because plants clean the air. You can burn some essential oils in your office place. They can kill viruses and bacteria. So it's kind of a global approach at health.
Well, it sure does. Let's take calls in just a moment for you, Sarah, as they're lining up. Do you want to give people some herbal remedies when they call?
Sure. I mean, again, we have to know that I usually take an hour history. I need to know what kind of medication.
I'm holding you to 2 minutes a call.
So I will do my best to make some simple advice.
All right. That's fair enough. What other countries are doing what we're doing here in the United States? Are they more advanced than us, like China, India, places like that?
Absolutely. I mean, in Germany, for instance, there was something called the German E-Commission, and they actually did research and documented research on herbal medicine. And the physicians there will just as easily prescribe a botanical medicine as they will a pharmaceutical. And in India, there's Ayurvedic medicine, which is a brilliant, brilliant form of medicine and diagnosis and treatment. And the doctors are familiar with Ayurvedic. So we're kind of behind the times. I mean, look, I always tell when I speak and teach that our acute medicine, a gunshot wound, a car accident, God forbid, you break a leg, you don't go to your herbalist because our emergency care is phenomenal. Our care is very conventional. All emergency rooms do the same thing, and that's very important. But when it comes to individual medicine, Western medicine is very far behind as opposed to what's going on in the world.
That's disappointing that we're that far behind.
Right, because I think that acute medicine was important. And, you know, it's very interesting because I just heard a doctor speaking, and he said, you know, if you walk into an emergency room after a car accident, you do not want two doctors arguing, I want to do it this way, I want to do it that way. You don't want the nurses saying, no, I'd rather use this vein instead of that vein. When you walk in a dangerous situation, you want everybody on board doing the same thing. And that's why our emergency medicine is phenomenal. But when it comes to an individual, that's when you need an herbalist to sit down with that person and discuss their metabolism and their sleep and their food choices. So both medicines are important, but we are far behind in individual medicine. We are.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Can we speed that up? Can we get that a little better?
Well, I know now with our current healthcare, people are choosing to go to acupuncturists, Chinese herbalist, and myself, who is a Western herbalist. That means I use herbs that grow in the United States because, George, we give them an hour and a half. We're very good listeners. We really hear what they need, and we're there for them. I mean, my clients text me all the time, and they keep me updated, and they let me know good news as well as bad news. So there's much more of an intimate relationship. I mean, I have to tell you, I had a client that came to me a month ago, and she walked in the door, and I said, oh, so you're here for eczema? And she said, how do you know that? I said, oh, because I know all your cousins. I wasn't breaking HIPAA, George. But I said, oh, I know it runs in the family. And just the fact that I knew her family and I knew the challenges that DNA family was having made her feel more secure. She opened up to me right away. It was a real secure feeling that I was familiar with her.
All right, let's take some calls with Sarah. Questions for her, or maybe you have a personal question about your own health. She's more than willing to help you out. Now, she's not a doctor. She is an herbalist. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And I work with a lot of doctors. They diagnose, and if their treatment doesn't work, then I step in and help with the treatment.
Jersey Doug in New Jersey's with us. Hey, Jersey, welcome.
Welcome again. How are you doing this evening?
Everything's good. Thank you. I hope
glad
you are,
to hear
too.
It. Very, very great show here. Every time I learn a little bit more about these vitamins and minerals and whatnot, and it's really good to get the word out there. I have a miracle story here. Well, it started out as a horror story, turned into a miracle.
Perfect.
I have a very good friend of mine. About 10 years ago, his brother was put in jail on the three strike count. Three strikes he was driving, caught driving without a valid license.
Uh-huh.
He had to do 18 months. While he was in there, he went and had his wife's tattoo named on his forearm. And it was, of course, jailhouse tattoo, and who knows who's been using the needle before him. Well, when he got out, he wasn't feeling too well, went to see the doctor, found out he had hepatitis. And they concluded that's where he had contacted it at. For about 3 years, he was treating him. Then he told him that I'd gotten up to hepatitis C. And they were giving him several different medications, one for his blood count and things like that. And they told him, we're going to have to put your name on the list for waiting for a donor for a liver because, you know, with the way your situation is, it might only be a year or, a little longer. Well, he did a little bit of research, and he found out about this milk thistle. And he was using that three times the recommended dose, twice a day. And in a 2.5 year period, it disappeared. His sickness was gone. And when he told his doctor, his doctor was amazed. He said that, he said, I've been hearing about the milk thistle for years. Never use it. He says, I'm going to start changing my ways about this.
It works. That's a great story.
It's wonderful, and it supports the liver. Remember, our liver is what filters all the toxins and all the diseases that come into our body. And milk thistle is known for generations to support and help rebuild that liver. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing.
I had years ago high enzyme liver levels in my liver for no apparent reason. Went through a number of tests. This is 15, 20 years ago. And he couldn't decide, well, why were those levels so high? And I went on milk thistle. I came back and got tested 3 months later, perfectly normal.
Amazing. I'm telling
it
you, it's so easy to grow. It's an inexpensive plant. Even people that struggle with finances can afford milk thistle. You can either take it in capsules or you can buy it in bulk and get a 1 pound bag. And obviously from a good company, a reliable company, and you can just sprinkle it in some applesauce, sprinkle it over your oatmeal. It's a milk thistle seed. It's a seed, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, milk thistle, and it works beautifully.
Our first time caller, Judy in Florida. Welcome to the program, Judy. Good to have you with us.
Oh, I can't believe it. Hi. I want to ask about high blood pressure. Is there any way I could get off pharmaceuticals?
Well, this is what we always say. If you're on prescription drugs, work with your doctor on that. But what can she take also, Sarah, for her blood pressure naturally?
And I say never go off your pharmaceuticals. But there's an herb called hawthorn, and hawthorn berries help with high blood pressure. And you can get hawthorn paste, where you can actually just put some on your toast. Again, I can't diagnose or treat, but people use hawthorn. And then there's another plant called Cactus grandiflorus, which was used for generations to help with high blood pressure. So those two herbs are often given in combination. Again, I can't suggest a treatment without knowing a history, but those are two herbs to research.
Now, we know, of course, if you take too much prescription pills, if you overdose, you can die. Is that a problem with herbs, too?
You know what I have found over the years? I love that question, George. This is what I find. When people are not feeling well, they're going to take their herb. And the second they're feeling better, they start forgetting to take it. And they'll call me up and say, you know, I haven't been anxious. I forgot to take my herbs the last month. And I'm like, great. Just know they're in your cabinet if you need it again. So I have not seen, in my experience, people overdosing. But there are some herbs that are toxic. There are some herbs that you have to keep an eye on. But in my book, Mootopia, and other amazing books written by herbalists, we talk about herbs that are safe for most of the population without toxic side effects.
All right, let's take a call. Thomas in La Jolla is with us. Hey, Tom.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. And wow, Sarah, you are a blessing, and your enthusiasm is contagious. It's really appreciated. Sarah, I wanted two things. Flower remedies, like Bach flower remedies or Australian flower remedies. And the second question was about Swedish bitters.
Bitters.
And I was wondering if you had any personal anecdotes about either, or about how Bach flower remedies were formulated, etc.
Yes, so Bach, Dr. Bach was a classical homeopath, like my training, and classical homeopathy should be practiced by a practitioner. We haven't even discussed it too much tonight. It's quite complicated. So he went out and made flower remedies, flower essences, because he felt that the common man, the less educated person could use and learn how to use Bach flowers. So they're really safe to use. They're not that expensive. You can get them online in most health food stores, and they're very easy to read about online, and I think they're a great option for a lot of people. I mean, again, if a person has a serious condition, it's best to work with a master herbalist or a classical homeopath. And Swedish bitters, I mean, here's the story. We don't eat enough bitters in our diet. And if we ate more bitters, our liver would function better and our digestion would function better. We became a community of people that love sweets. I mean, who doesn't love sweets? But when you have a bitter plant before your meal, like a dandelion leaf or artichoke, what it does is it stimulates the digestive juices to start cooking. So it's very interesting because we know that Zantac, which we know just is gotten a bad rap recently, suppresses the stomach acid. What herbalists believe is we want to stimulate the stomach acid. We want you to have a cauldron of acid in your stomach before the food goes in there, so the food can be broken down faster, so you don't have reflux. So that's where Swedish bitters come in. You take a little bit before your meal, it starts your digestive process, then when you eat, this digestive process is easier.
Yeah, the FDA has come down on that and said it could cause cancer.
I know. So Swedish bitters are a great option.
Are these bitters the same thing they put in drinks?
You know what? I don't know. They don't drink alcohol at all.
I don't drink bitters, but I've heard of bitters. And then how many bitters can there be, right?
They probably all are in the same bitter family, that's for sure.
Next up, let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Joseph, you are up.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure.
Hello, Master Herbalist. I have a few things. As far as George wanted to know if there's anything to prolong aging, slow it down, some people have success with Gouda-Cola and FOLTTN, but also the sweet herb, stevia, is good as a replacement for sugars, so we could do that. Also, your HIMBY stimulates the lower part of the body, and people sometimes have a difficulty with their blood circulation. And also ginseng, there's an upper a ginseng for the upper part and a lower part of the body. So we have to understand that no ginsengs are not all the same. Now, my question for you is...
You're a very well-educated man. Thank you for sharing that. That was really good information. I appreciate that.
Now, I'd like to ask you, the shamans sometimes communicate with great spirit and other spirits. From my experiences, and I know three people that can do this, they can communicate with the spirits of herbs and flowers and, you know, other types of life forms. So this is another argument for intelligent design. And I do understand that gemstones also have guardians and masters that preside over that consciousness. Also, your gem elixirs can also be mixed with the Bach flower remedies as well. They're not antagonistic, so you could boost up that remedy as well.
I love that, and I want to let you know that I do not have that skill, and that's why I listen to Coast nightly, so that I can hear other people that have that skill. I, as an herbalist, just do a lot of research, and I read a lot of studies, and I cannot talk to plants, and I don't hear them speaking to me, I have to tell you. I wish they did, and I love to be around them, but that's not how I learn as a practitioner.
Let's see if we can squeeze in another quick call before the break. Wayne in Tacoma, Washington's with us. Hey, Wayno, go ahead.
Good evening, Sir George and Lady Sarah. Thank you very much. And we're going to have to get Lady Sarah back on this program, I think, once every 2 or 3 months, George. She's great. Hey, I've got a quick comment and some questions on a couple of products. For the instance, the gentleman that called about the Hep C, there's a pharmaceutical cure for Hep C, but the regimen, I think, is a 15 to 30-day regimen, and it's cost $25,000. And there's only one company that puts it out. And so, you know, they're all about the money. This guy that owns this company, I think the government should take it over and control it myself. Anyway, on sleep for the elderly, and also more critical than that, I've got an elderly mother over 101 years old, and she's on her third or fourth bout of having loose stool, you know, intestinal problems, and she will not drink water. I've been trying to get her to drink water. She's losing electrolytes, I know. So what are some of the better things that she could do for electrolytes and that? And the one thing I come across was colostrum, maybe perhaps for helping that out a little bit. And then I have a second question after you.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. Hold on for a second, Sarah. I'll have you answer that when we come back. And then, of course, Wayne will get to your second question and the rest of the calls when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And just stick with us. And we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and we're going to go back to you, if we can, Sarah, to talk about Wayne and his relatives' issue. What about probiotics for that indigestion system?
Probiotics are great if you take antibiotics, and I love them for that. I don't see in many cases that it helps digestion the way it's purported to.
And let's go back to Wayne for his other question. Wayne, go ahead.
Yes, I was inquiring about products that will help the elderly with extreme diarrhea problems. I came across colostrum, and then I have a second question.
Yes, so slippery elm bark is one of the first that came into my mind. Slippery elm bark is a wonderful powder that you can mix with either applesauce or put over a little bit of oatmeal, and we call it the intestinal band-aid. It actually soothes the intestines and heals the intestines and helps with diarrhea. So that's a soothing herb. She could possibly be on many medications, and slippery elm bark is not contraindicated. As to getting her to drink water, that's really important. I mean, if she's really not drinking, again, I'm not a medical doctor, but sometimes it's suggested that you get a home visiting nurse that can give her occasional IVs to rehydrate her. But the slippery elm bark is a very good idea for her.
What do you think of teas? Are they good?
I love teas. Now, what I have found being a practitioner in New York and Los Angeles, where people tend to be type A, running around, you know, doing a million things at the same time, that my clients don't tend to sit down and drink tea. We're not so much a tea society. We are much more a coffee society. But if someone's going to drink a cup of herbal tea, in order to get a medicinal quality, you'd have to put in at least 4 tea bags. So if someone was drinking some chamomile tea to help them sleep better and become, you know, ease into sleep better, 1 chamomile tea bag's not going to be enough. They'd have to put 4 tea bags, cover with boiling water, add some honey if they want, and then when the tea cools down a bit, squeeze out those bags, and then you'd get a medicinal dose of chamomile.
You like pine nuts. Tell me why.
Pine nuts are great. They're a great source of protein. You can keep a little bag with you wherever you go. And as long as you, they're actually not, I was going to say if you don't have nut allergies, but there's very few pine nut allergies, actually. I was thinking peanuts. But they're a great source of protein to carry around with you. And a lot of my clients, they get exhausted throughout their workday. It's because they skip breakfast and then they wait and have this huge lunch, and then they're so exhausted as their body's trying to digest it. So snacking on nuts throughout the day is a great way to keep your energy levels more stable.
They said that eating nuts really are good for you.
They really are. I mean, they're good oils. I mean, for a while we were very much a fat-free, low-fat society, and that's because bad fats are not good for us. But we forgot to say bad fats are bad, but good fats are fabulous. And the oils in nuts are very healthy for brain health. They help to reduce inflammation in the joints. They're really important for our lives.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Justin in Columbia, California. Hey, Justin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I know you're running short on time, so I was wondering if the good herbalist, I'm an herbalist myself as well, I was wondering if she had any suggestions for perhaps ciprotoxicity. Now, I know she's not a doctor, but I was just wondering if she knew of any herbs that might help flush the cipro out of your DNA, out of your cells in your body.
I'm so sorry. What kind of toxicity? I missed
cipro.
Toxicity.
That's the drug cipro, I assume, Justin?
Yes. I had a bad bout with a mold in the federal housing, and I had a lot of exposure to mold, and I got a lot of UTIs.
Yeah, okay.
I keep going on cipro, so I'm just wondering. A lot of times you have to go and get it flushed out of you. It's an expensive procedure.
I think they take cipro for anthrax, too, don't they? Sarah?
I'm not sure about that, but
I think they do.
The two herbs that, and again, I can't diagnose or treat, and I always say go to your medical doctor, of course, but cilantro is an herb that we use a lot for children that have lead poisoning and mercury. So cilantro, besides eating it, you can get it in a tea or tincture form. And then there's another herb called ground ivy, which also helps with toxicity. So those are the two herbs that I would suggest that you explore.
You know, it is truly remarkable how this does work. I mean, I'm amazed, not baffled, but I'm amazed at how this planet creates these remedies for illnesses. It's a miracle.
It is. We're plant people. We can't live without plants. And we have a book called The Materia Medica. Materia Medica is like your physician desk reference, and it talks about all the herbs. Been around for generations, and garlic and onions are considered an herb. So you have to understand that, you know, cilantro and dill, these are herbs, and these are medicine. So we kind of pushed aside herbs and forgot that it's been part of our lives and they grow all around us. And, you know, it was so funny because I teach people that. Well, let me tell you this story very quickly. When I was studying herbal medicine, I was living in Brooklyn, New York. And my herbal teacher said, if you want to heal a person, see what grows around them. And I went up to her afterwards, and I was very angry because a lot of the students came from New Jersey and Connecticut. I was like, yeah, you know what grows in Brooklyn? Well, we got a lot of dog poop. We've got a lot of concrete. We've got a lot of broken down cars. Is that what I'm supposed to be giving my clients? And she laughed and said, just open your eyes and take a walk around the block. And I took my Peterson guide, George, and in the middle of crazy Brooklyn, I found 10 medicinal herbs growing within the block. So no matter where we live, The plants are there for us, George. We just need to rediscover and learn because it's our gift from the planet. That's really what they are.
Let's go next to Josie in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Josie. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
I finally got through. I have something so important. People are drugged out all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one herb that will alleviate that, and the government won't allow it in this country because it will put you for a short while in an altered state, and you know the government can't stand that. But they also, Big Pharma, would not like it because once the person comes out of this, they would not want to do any more of the drugs, alcohol, maybe even the tobacco products, but here it is. It's called Ibogaine Tabernathe. I didn't know if you would know this one because it's not in most herb books. But there is a Dr. Deborah Mash, and George, you may want to have her on your show because she may have a lot of things to say. It's called, I don't use computers, but somebody told me that she had to get out of Miami because they wouldn't even allow it on an experimental basis.
Huh.
So she's finally in Mexico, in Cancun, and it's called Clear Sky Recovery. And people go there in small groups, and they what happens, you know, with your brain lights up when you're addicted, when you're in the addictive phase. So this heals that part of your brain that lights up for the bad stuff, probably even the opiates. And I thought that would be very
interesting.
Important.
What's the name of that herb? What's the name of that herb again, Joes?
Now, the capsule form, it's called Ibogaine, Ibogaine.
Let's find out if Sarah's ever heard of it. Sarah?
I am not familiar with that herb, so I can't comment. But I can say that the herb Kava Kava was not allowed to be used in the U.S. at a certain point, and now it is. So that's an herb that's been used for generations also. So this herb I'm not familiar with, but Kava I am.
What about standards now for herbs? I mean, we don't have really regulations on the making of these herbs. How do we know we're getting things that are of quality?
So there are only a handful of herbal pharmaceutical companies that I personally work with in the U.S., and I want to let you know that the FDA do come into these plants, and I want to let you know that on every one of these plants, they have chemists that are checking for pesticides and leads and the validity of the herbs. So it's very important to find companies that are led by herbalists like myself, because I say like this, if you get a batch of herbs and someone like myself was in charge and I said, you know, I don't like the quality of this herb. It's a little too dried out. I think they didn't harvest it at the right time. Believe me, that herb is being sold to another company. So there are a handful of herbs that are run by what is called AHG Herbalists. It's called American Herbalist Guild. We are very well educated, and we take our herbal medicine very seriously. So there are many companies that are 100% trustworthy and safe.
Sarah, I haven't given out your website yet, so I'll let you.
Well, my website is moodtopiabook.com. That's Moodtopia Book. And you can find me on the web. You can buy my book on Amazon. I'm on Instagram. And every day I put up, or every other day, I put up a little one-minute video on a new herb so people can start to familiarize themselves. Because I think knowledge is power. And I just really want to get that information out there so people can feel empowered and start making decisions about their health.
Well, what's so amazing about all this, and you've just touched upon it, that people can take care of themselves with a lot of these remedies and botanicals, can't they?
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. And again, we've discussed emergency medicine is top notch. No one's denying that. And antibiotics have saved lives. Aspirin has saved lives. Herbalists do not think that Western medicine is wrong. We want to integrate it. We want to use the best that they have, and where they are weak, that's where we can come in and teach them about the plants. So it's not us or them. That's not the way herbalists look. We're integrating it.
It's a team. It's a teamwork, and that's what's so important. For Mike Cosio, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.